We're looking at Psalm 24. Psalm 24, a psalm of David. We'll go through the entire song, psalm. It's 10 verses. And it reads, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Selah. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we're so grateful, Lord, for this time, this opportunity we have to come together, Father God, to sing songs to you, Father God, as we acknowledge your goodness, your love, your glory, your might, your power, and all that you are, not only to us, Lord God, but to all of creation. You are the glorious, the majestic King. And we pray, dear God, that as we look into your word, Father God, that we would be strengthened, encouraged, and empowered, Lord God, by the great glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The King of glory and his glorious kingdom. And as I've been more and more having the opportunity to share the word of God, I focus in on the subject of Christ and his church. So we are in keeping with that theme. We're going to look at this psalm and other passages about Christ as the King of glory and those who have been highly honored to share in that glory. Psalm 24. It starts off with the glory of being the Creator. "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Now, of course, we know and very familiar passage, and we understand who this is in reference to. We look at verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Bible describes him as the image of the invisible God. All of us here know in whom I am referring. I'm referring to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of all mankind. Colossians chapter 1, and starting at verse number 16, it's the same theme. Paul reiterates. He says this, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things," verse 17, "and in him all things consist." He covers the whole gambit. Everything that exists exists as an extension of God and His glorious power. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from His heat. Again, the psalmist making the same point. All of creation points to the glory of our God, and it is shame for men not to recognize that. In Romans chapter 1, and we see the consequences behind men that refuse to acknowledge the glory of their Creator. It reads this in verse 18 in Romans chapter 1. It reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In Job chapter 38, he goes into a little bit more detail about creation and the nature of God. In Job chapter 38, starting at verse 4, it reads, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors, and when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment." And just demonstrating all the time. If we are able to see, if we have eyes to see, we see the demonstration of God's power and glory in creation and everything around us and everything within us. Because even our ability to see these things is a sign that God is glorious. Psalm 139. David deals with the details in which God personally knows man. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me," verse 1. "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my laying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before it, and you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." Verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." He goes even into greater details, even further on. He says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." All of these things we consider as a part of God's glory. The detail in which He fashioned the earth. The Bible goes so far as to say he named every star. He set every star in its place. We know how many trillions of stars are in the galaxy. He named every one. That's glory. That's power. That is might. And that is the King. That is the King in all of his beauty, his splendor, and his majesty. And for us, when we acknowledge that, because even the King in all of his glory, he will not impose his will on men. We are created in his image. We are created with the capacity to choose. We can choose to honor him, or we can choose to reject him. But it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. That's what the Hebrew writer tells us. And we ought to consider the goodness and the severity of God. Because just as the glory of God is great and powerful, just as much his wrath. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. He is mighty to save, but he is also powerful to judge. And the Bible describes his wrath as well. Romans chapter 2, continuing on in the theme of men who reject God, but in accordance with your hardness of heart, verse 5, impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath, the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuing and doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. For those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. All of these things we must consider. And it is for those of us who know God, this is a word of admonishment. We oftentimes need to be admonished when our hearts go astray, when we allow the bitter root of unbelief to creep into our hearts. We need to be reminded that the punishment for sin is severe and it's eternal. And it is as glorious as his goodness. Who is the King of glory? Psalm, back to our text. And it says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 42. In verse number 13, the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. Go back one verse to chapter 41 in Isaiah. In verse number 11 says, behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. There shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you shall be nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. So the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, but his mercy of salvation is applied to those that honor him. And I just want to touch a little bit on something. David mentioned this morning, the idea, the concept of common grace, things in which the goodness of God in which all men experience. He referenced Acts chapter 14. Acts 14, starting at verse number 15, and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness." All men experience common grace. All men can look up and see the beauty of a sunset, the smell, the good scent of a flower, and the beauty of nature, enjoy a good meal. All men are under that common grace. But there is the few, and what Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 7, the few that takes the narrow way. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So how do we find it? First of all, it's not hard. God is not hard to find. It is not hard to see that God exists, and he is. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of our desire to seek him. So who is the King of glory? He is the Lord of creation. He is the King of grace and mercy and compassion. And he is also very severe and mighty to destroy all those that would come against him. That's why the Bible describes him in Hebrews, he is a consuming fire. At some point, all things that are contradictory and against God will be consumed. In the meantime, we put our hope and our trust in his mercy, and we can't compel others to do the same. Those that inherit the glory of God are those that seek him, those that have faith. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith is it impossible to please him. Those that come to him must know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Through the prophet Jeremiah, he says this, 29, in verse number 11. He said, "You shall seek me. If you seek me, you shall find me. If you seek for me with all your heart." We want to inherit the glory of God, but we must be willing to seek him. We must learn the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord, according to the proverb writer in Proverbs 1 and 7, is the beginning of knowledge, of wisdom. Psalm 103, he said his mercy is from everlasting on those who fear him. We're talking about those that acknowledge, not afraid, but that acknowledge that he is to be revered as God because of his glory, because of he is the origin of everything that exists. And I like what it says in Psalm 91, starting at verse number 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We must seek God. We must learn the fear of the Lord. We must set our love upon him. And what this ultimately means is we obey him. The Hebrew writer says that he is, or he has become, the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It is he who loves me, those who have my word and keep my word. And this is how we inherit the glory of God. Not only can we enjoy the benefits of salvation, and we talked about all of these things this morning, every spiritual blessing, and even the blessings that we have on a day-to-day basis, the small things that sometimes we take for granted, the very fact that we are breathing, that we are able, that we have another day, another moment, another opportunity to share in the grace of God among the people around us, among the saints. That is a gift. That is a gift of grace. So we look to him. We trust in him. We set our love upon him. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is a good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountain. He gives to the beasts its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of horses. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. And this is our lot. For everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ and who has obeyed this glorious message of the gospel, hearing the word and being convicted by it, and responding. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, he who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man. It is a wise thing to respond to the word of God as you hear it. The conviction of the Spirit works in our hearts through the word of God, but we still have to respond. We still have to hear the message and accept it as the truth, because it is. And we have to consider the alternative. What's the alternative to the truth? A lie. What's the alternative to love? Hate. What's the alternative to salvation? Judgment. Which one do we choose? It's a simple choice. We can share in the glory of God, or we can share in the wrath against all his all-consuming wrath, which will last for eternity. I don't think this is something that we want. Obviously, there's no comparison. So if we hear the word and we acknowledge that he is God, and we turn from our way, putting all of our trust, the number one commandment, you shall love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, strength, everything. Trust all of your heart, everything. give to the Lord Jesus. Today is the day of salvation, now is the time. If there are need at this time, you stand and come.